give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. Give thanks to the God of gods. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. God defends me against all danger and guards and protects me from all evil. All this He does only out of fatherly divine goodness and mercy, without any merit or worthiness in me. For all this, it is my duty to thank and praise, serve and obey. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbor as ourselves. We just deserve your presence for eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and be us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. God, in His mercy, has given His Son to die for you, and for His sake forgive all of your sins, as called and ordained servant of Christ. And by His authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Continue now, Captain Servant. I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. O Lord, how manifold are your works! In wisdom have you made them all. These all look to you. When you give it to them, they gather it up. When you send forth your Spirit, they are created. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. You may see it. As a hymn of praise this evening, we'll turn now to number 940. Holy God, we praise you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 17th chapter. Glory to you, Jesus. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go, show yourself to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. And he calls his command. Then Jesus answered, "Were not these men cleansed? Where are the nine? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" He said to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." This is the Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Christ. Congregation, may be seated. We now join in singing our service in number 468, "I'm Content." Writes about that, even though he has many difficult circumstances surrounding him. He faces plenty of opposition for his preaching of the gospel, and yet the source of his contentment comes from his faith in our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So that kind of contentment then leads to the ability to give thanks. That's exactly what we are gathered here tonight, to give thanks with hearts are content. We are more than content with the things that our God has given to us, the blessings that we have. The text brothers and sisters in Christ. Tomorrow is going to be a great day. I don't know if Thanksgiving for you is going to be a big, giant family celebration, or maybe if you're going to keep it a little bit more low key this year, but what I can say for sure is that tomorrow is going to be a great day. Tomorrow is going to be a great day because, first and foremost, it will be a day which the Lord has made. And certainly every single day is a gift from God, whether it's a special holiday or not. But Thanksgiving Day, in particular, is a day to rejoice. It's a day where our whole country kind of takes a break from our normal routines. It's not every week where you get to spend your whole day on a Thursday doing things like watching the Macy's Parade, or watching football all day, eating all kinds of delicious foods. And so maybe for a lot of us, it is a day to kind of relax a little bit. Now, if you're hosting Thanksgiving and you're going to be doing a lot of the cooking, maybe it's not going to feel so relaxed, and maybe it'll be really busy and hectic for you. But I would assume that's going to be a different kind of busy. A good kind of chaos, if you will. Doing different things than what we would normally do on a regular basis. Then you get to sit down around the table together. And Thanksgiving is this excuse to just eat whatever you want, feel free, right? Tomorrow's going to be a great day! But it may come at a price. If you do go crazy and you grab a bunch of extra helpings, like stuffing in the pot and all kinds of other things, you might not feel so great at the end of the day compared to how you feel at the beginning of the day. I think we all know what it feels like when we go overboard a little bit, when you just get stuffed and you can't eat another bite. You feel like you're going to slip into a food coma. Maybe you loosen up the belt a little bit. Maybe change into the top of your pants. We know what this feels like. It's not the best feeling. Now, this is not technically a Thanksgiving illustration specifically, but I'm wondering, do any of you know what I'm talking about when I say Lambert's Cafe? Anybody ever been to Lambert's Cafe? Okay, we got a few answers. So there's a Lambert's, of course, on the way to Branson. If you've ever visited Branson, maybe you stopped at Lambert's. But, of course, the original one is a lot closer to us in Sykeston, Missouri. And when Katie and I were in Cape Girardeau, Missouri, when I was a picker way back in the day, we were just 45 minutes away from Lambert's Cafe in Sykeston, and so we did have a few opportunities to drive down there. And all I'll say about that is it's really easy to get that overly stuffed feeling when you go and eat at Lambert's because, well, it's like they're serving a Thanksgiving meal every single day of the year. They have all of these side dishes, besides whatever it is that you order. They bring all these side dishes around, and they serve them family style. It's basically all you can eat. Then, of course, the whole time they're throwing those rolls famously at you the whole time you're there. And so, when it's all said and done, I can tell you that that 45-minute drive home was not more miserable for me. Was a more miserable experience. So I guess if we're not careful, some of us might feel that way about 24 hours from now or something like that. But actually, if I had to guess, I would say that maybe some of us have come here to church tonight already feeling like you just couldn't possibly another bite. If you've already consumed everything that you could possibly consume and it's just no more food. But I'm not really talking about your stomach when I say that. I'm talking about what is in your heart. If you're like me, things that you see going on around us in this world sometimes make it feel like there's just not any more I can take. not much more that I can fit in, stuff into my heart. Maybe those are the things that make us discontent. Everywhere you look, it seems like there's something else going on. It's disappointing, it's scary. Just every single day, some sort of tragedy, car accident, some terrible thing that happens to somebody somewhere. And a lot of times it's people we've never heard of that live somewhere very far away, but every once in a while, this is something that the bad news. Maybe it's a friend, maybe it's somebody you love, somebody that you care about. And all those awful things that we hear, it's like our hearts get stuffed to the point where they're just about ready to break. Of course, we start to think about what life is going to be like for us here over this next month between now and Christmas. All of the crazy consumer culture around us, the hustle and bustle that basically defines December in America these days. Maybe this season is something that you're really looking forward to. Maybe this is one of your favorite seasons, or your absolute favorite season of the year, if even that. Still have our hearts feeling stuffed with stress and anxiety. We get sucked into that insanity. And of course, there's the fact that for many people, the holiday season is not just about good tidings and comfort and joy. For so many people, it brings along with it feelings of loneliness, heartache, depression. Hearts just have to force fed this stuff day after day after day. And it's no wonder why there are plenty of days when we just feel like truthful. We just feel uncomfortable. So, because of all that, I'm really glad that we are gathered here tonight. Gathered here in God's house. We get to hear what God has to say about all of these things. We've heard enough of what the world has to say. God's word tonight comes to us from this amazing letter that St. Paul wrote to the Philippians. This is toward the very end of Paul's earthly life. He was writing as he was imprisoned for the sake of the gospel. If there was anybody who could have had a reason to be discontent, I would think that Paul, especially toward the end of his life, would have been right toward the top of the list. We are pretty certain from church history and tradition that Paul wrote this letter from some sort of terrible dungeon in Rome. And we don't know everything that there is to know about what it was like to be a Roman prisoner. But what we do know is that it was not a very pleasant experience. The cells were dark and smelled terrible. They were unbearably cold in the winter. And I know none of us would want to be in jail today. Compared to the things that Paul had to endure, our jails seem like fancy hotels. So Paul sits down to write this letter, and he's in the midst of experiencing all of it. On top of it, he knows that he's an innocent man, that he hasn't done anything to deserve this kind of treatment, and yet, look at what he says. Starting in verse 11, I have learned in whatever situation I am, I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound in any and every circumstance. I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. And the famous confirmation memory verse, I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. Plenty and hunger. Paul says here, there's a way to be content if you're starving, if your belly is growling, and there's a way to be content if you're stuffed so full you couldn't possibly do another one. Because ultimately it doesn't matter what you have or don't have, it doesn't matter
you're if you're sitting in your warm, comfortable living room watching football, or if you're sitting just cold, dirty, frozen prison stuff. It doesn't matter if you're just spending Thanksgiving surrounded by a huge gathering of loved ones, or if tomorrow you are going to be by yourself. True contentment doesn't come from earthly things. And true contentment is not something that we have to try to muster up in our hearts all by ourselves. True contentment, like Paul says, comes from having faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why Paul can say what he said to the Philippians, who, by the way, knew a whole lot better than we do what kind of situation he was in. It's not like Paul was writing these words thinking that Jesus was just going to miraculously rescue him from all of his earthly troubles. In fact, we know that Paul was martyred in Rome shortly after writing these words. It's the fact that in spite of those things, the cause of all kinds of discontentment here on earth, Paul knew that none of them could rob him of Christ. Even death itself cannot take Jesus Christ away. Paul says he is content in any and every circumstance because his contentment is not grounded in his circumstances. It's grounded in Christ. So is yours. So is mine. Just before the sermon, we said some really powerful words together. I am content. And traditionally, that hymn is known as an Easter hymn, and maybe you noticed that it comes from the Easter section of the hymnal, so maybe you wonder why the kids chose that for Thanksgiving Eve. But how appropriate are those words for Thanksgiving? I am content. And I love how the hymnal actually puts exclamation points next to that phrase every single time we sing it. It's not just I am content! It's exciting! It's really a reason to rejoice. Even here at the end of November, even as the weather turns cold and we brace ourselves for the winter, we are still celebrating what Jesus accomplished in the spring. What Jesus accomplished for us at Easter. His resurrection. His promise to raise us up from the dead too. That is the perfect solution to hearts that often feel overstuffed and miserable. Through faith in Jesus Christ, we always have this hope that our broken creation will one day be made new. That our eternity in heaven is so much greater than all of the terrible things that we experience now. So it's just like with Paul writing from Jesus. The Easter gospel is what gives us the contentment that we so need, which is why we can sing and say that we are content. Even if we're carrying a lot of burdens, because Christ himself is the one who has taken those burdens away. He's taken them all the way to the cross. And as he rose victorious from the grave, he also rose in triumph over all of the things that make us discontent. But all of that leads to the very thing that you're gathered here tonight to do. Simply good things. Tomorrow's going to be great. My prayer for all of us is that we will feel full when it's all said and done, but not full in like a miserable, uncomfortable, you got to roll the gas. That our souls would be filled to the brim with the love of Christ, with a grateful response to all of his blessings. Praise be to our God for full bellies and content hearts. We give thanksgiving to you, to all of your loved ones, in Jesus' name. Amen. And now may the peace of God surpass all of you. Guard and keep your heart. Thank you. are together in speaking the words of God in Christian faith using the Apostles' Creed, which we confess together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, for the full church of God in Christ Jesus, for all people according to their needs. O God, giver of all good things, grant that we would give you due thanks for your abundant provision, rather than relying on our own ability or strength. Lord, in your mercy, we give you thanks, O God, that you have established your church and continue to sustain her by your courage. Hold her with true doctrine, and grant by your Spirit that she would remain faithful to Christ, now and forever. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, our God, be gracious to husbands and wives, parents and children. Bless them and make your face shine upon them, that they may know your saving power, and make your truth known on earth to the coming generations. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, our God, bless all who hold high positions among us, that we may be peaceful and quiet among us, godly and dignified in every way. Lord, in your mercy. We give you thanks, O God, that you hear the prayers of your people, especially those who cry out to you in affliction. Especially we remember before you those who are on our prayer list this day, those who are in care facilities, including Dorothy, Gretel, Beulah, Charles, and Betty. Continue to pray for the way in which you recovered from her recent surgery. We also ask that you would be in the cabin as he anticipates upcoming vaccines next week. We also ask you, Lord, to be with those ongoing health needs and concerns, especially Thomas, Don, Jim, Mark, Amy, Ron, Francis, Tina, Nicole, Christy, Sandy, Prince, Linda, Jeff, and all those who face the gifts. Heal them according to your will, sustain them in the day of trouble, and bring them at last to your eternal dwelling place, where disease and death are no more. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, Heavenly Father, we gratefully remember the sufferings and death of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, for our salvation. Rejoicing in his victorious resurrection from the dead, we draw strength from his ascension before you, where he ever stands for us as our own high priest. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us, for to you alone we give all glory, honor, and worship, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread.
Thank you for joining us. We hope to see you again next week.